I'm going to be preaching about something this evening about, it's basically a word we hear a lot about in the Bible, and we often hear about it in, in church circles, and that's the word anointed, or anointing. And we often hear this word, but what does it actually mean? And I really trust the Holy Spirit that He will show us what He means by to be anointed, because each one of us sitting here, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we've been anointed by Him. And we've got a certain amount of power that's been given to us by God. And I just trust the Holy Spirit to come and reveal that to us tonight. So just like to open for us in prayer. Father, we just thank You for tonight, Lord. Thank You that we can be here together, Lord God. Thank You that we can worship You, that we could spend time in Your presence, God. Thank You for the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that you lead us and that You guide us in all truth and righteousness, Lord God. And we just say thank You that You've anointed us, Father God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that You will come and open up our hearts and open up our understanding to what Your word says about anointing this evening, Father God. And Lord, we just consecrate this time to You. We dedicate this time to You. And we pray that You will speak to us through Your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it great to be able to, I said this morning, it's the first time I'm actually able to take my jersey off inside church this year, I think. It's been quite a cold winter, so it's good to see that the weather's turning around slightly. I'd like us to turn to Isaiah 61 verse 1. If you want to turn to Luke 4 verse 18 to 19, it's the same piece of scripture. And basically Jesus kicked off His ministry by reading the following portion. And He says here, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." So, right in the beginning, I just want to make it clear. We can see there that the reason why God anoints us is that He may be glorified. There's a whole list of what Jesus did and what He did in His ministry. And He healed the brokenhearted and He set the captives free. But it was also that He may be glorified, so that God could be glorified. So, what is the definition of the word anointed? There's one definition there, and it says, "To rub with oil, especially in order to consecrate something or someone." So we see in the Bible, if somebody was anointed, they would often not get a nice rubbing of oil, and that was just to symbolize that the Holy Spirit was on them and that they were set apart for God's service. So, for example, Aaron and the high priest, he was anointed, his sons were anointed, and everything in the temple, in the tabernacle, and the articles, they were also anointed. We also see that kings were anointed in the Bible. And the word anointed appears over 70 times in Scripture. Now, I'm not going to give you a Hebrew and a Greek lesson because I don't know everything about Hebrew and Greek. But the root word for anoint is called Mashach in Hebrew. And that's a root word for Messiah, which means anointed one. And if you translate Messiah in Hebrew into Greek, it's called Christ. So if we're talking about Jesus Christ, we're talking about Jesus, the anointed one. If we're talking about ourselves as Christians, it means we are anointed ones. So if we turn to Exodus 28 verse 41, that's the first instance where we find somebody being anointed. And this is an instruction from God to Moses. And He says, "So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests." So we can see that priests were set apart for ministry. I don't know, was anybody at David Dean's ordination, Pastor David Dean? It was probably about a year ago where he was ordained by Pastor Fred, who's coming next week into ministry. And basically what he did was he took some oil and he just anointed him. And that was just something spooky. It doesn't mean that the oil is special, or, you know, it could be this Tesco oil here at the back, or it could be, I don't know, holy anointed oil from Jerusalem. Doesn't make a difference what oil you use. But it's just symbolizing the Holy Spirit's presence. So Pastor David was consecrated to God, he was prayed over, and he was ordained. It wasn't only for priests though. We see that kings were also anointed. In 1 Samuel 10 verse 1, we find Samuel the prophet anointing Saul, the first king of Israel. And it says there from verse 11, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance?'" So we can see there that anointing was for kings and for priests and for things, okay, in the Old Testament. And often, only those people would receive God's Holy Spirit. Before the Holy Spirit is available to all of us, if we accept Jesus Christ, only certain people in the Old Testament received the Holy Spirit. So we read that Saul actually, he was filled by the Holy Spirit for a brief period. And he enjoyed God's favor for a brief period as well. We read about him delivering one of the cities from their enemies. But then unfortunately, 2 years into his reign, he started disobeying God. And there were two main instances where Saul disobeyed God. The first one was where Samuel instructed him to wait for him. And then Samuel would come and he would give an offering. And then they would go into battle. Now Saul got impatient. And after a few days, he decided that he was going to take it into his own hands. And he was going to offer these sacrifices so that they could go into battle. And Samuel had perfect timing. He came there just as Saul finished sacrificing and gave him a strong word of rebuke. And he said that God had actually rejected him as king because Saul stepped out of his anointing. He stepped out of his line. He was anointed as a king and not as a priest. So he was presumptuous and thought, okay, well, Samuel's not coming. So, you know, let's get on with this and you know, sacrifice, barbecue some sheep. And unfortunately, because of his disobedience, God rejected him as king. We read in two chapters later, we also read about Saul's second instance of disobedience. And he was commanded to wipe out, I think it was the Amalekites, one of those nations in Israel at the time. He was instructed by God to wipe them out completely. And what he did was he obeyed 99%. He took, he killed most of the people, but he took some of the choice lambs, some of the best sheep and the best oxen and the best animals, and he also spared their king. So he didn't obey God 100%. And then once again, Samuel comes at the right time. He hears some sheep bleating in the background, and he says, "God has rejected you as king, and he has sought for himself a man after his own heart." If you read there what Samuel's actual words, he says there to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. But the Lord has commanded him, and the Lord has commanded him to be a commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." So a new king had to be anointed in Saul's place. And we read about that in 1 Samuel 16. He basically goes to Bethlehem, Samuel, to anoint this man. And he meets up with a guy called Jesse. And Jesse basically has 7 sons. And then the Lord says to him, to Samuel, "You shall anoint for me the one I named to you." Now, just a quick question. What qualifies us, or what qualified these people to be anointed? What qualified them? Okay. Was it their stature? Was it their standing in society? Was it their background? What qualified these people? And if we look in Scripture, we'll see that Saul, he came from a wealthy family. It says in Scripture he came from a wealthy family. His dad was a well-off man. Saul was quite a handsome man. They say that he stood literally, it says he was a choice and handsome man. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Okay, so this guy had everything it takes to be a great leader. He had height, he had money, he had all of those things. But God rejected him. Let's look at what he says about David. "So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab," this is David's older brother, "and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' So Jesse called Abinadab," that's another one of David's brothers, "and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, 'Neither is the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, 'Neither is the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep.' And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. So we read later in 1 Samuel 18 that David said, you know, he's from humble beginnings. He was from a poor family. He was the youngest out of all of those brothers. He wasn't even considered worthy to be invited to this anointing process. But yet he was chosen by God because he had a heart after God. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So God doesn't look at externals. God looks at man differently to the way we look at man. So because of God's anointing and favor, and because of the Holy Spirit being in David, we see that he's enjoying tremendous favor. So he was chosen as the official harp player for Saul in the palace, because Saul was being tormented by demons at that stage. So David went to go and play the harp because he realized that this was a skillful musician. We all know the story of David and Goliath, how David slayed Goliath. And we know that afterward he also enjoyed some favor. He was set over Saul's army and Saul's mighty men. Now, from Scripture we see a pattern that normally when God's favor is on somebody's life and when somebody sets apart for God and for God's service, that there's normally opposition. Okay, we even see that in the life of Jesus. Before he began his ministry, he spent 40 days in the wilderness and he was tempted by the devil for the duration of that time. And we see here that David first experienced opposition in his own family, from his own family. And similar in Jesus, he also experienced opposition from his brothers, and they didn't believe in him, they didn't accept him. But if you read in 1 Samuel 17, verse 28 to 29, now Eliab, and this is the same Eliab that was the first person to pass by Samuel, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And this is after David speaking to Israel. And basically Goliath had come against Israel. He was this giant. The Bible says, I think he was over 9 foot tall. Now, I don't know, these doors are 7 foot, aren't they? So Goliath was one of those people that had to duck under the doorway considerably. I think he had to do, almost had to do that. But basically this was a big man. And nobody had the strength to face him. Okay, and the bad thing is he was insulting God. And David said he loved God. And he said, you know, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? And he had a boldness. And we'll see later on that the Holy Spirit gave boldness to believers in the New Testament as well. But the Holy Spirit gave him a boldness to stand against his enemy. And Eliab said, after he'd spoken to the men, Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left these few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is he not a cause? So, first of all, Eliab is jealous of David. Secondly, he sort of writes him off because he's young. He says, you know, with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? And he accuses him falsely of being proud and just to come down to get some excitement, to see the battle. So he totally writes him off. Now, just because David was anointed didn't mean that he was guaranteed an easy ride. It didn't mean that there was not going to be any opposition. And just because we're anointed by God doesn't mean that there's going to be no opposition in our lives. Sometimes God will bring adversity across our path to test us. But we can see in Psalm 23 verse 5, which was written by David, he says there, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there were two types of anointing. There were two types of oil. Basically, the priestly oil, which was used to consecrate, you know, priests before the Lord. And then there was also this oriental oil, which is like a perfume. And that symbolized favor, and it symbolized hospitality. So, this anointing here that David talks about, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This refers to God's favor. Now, if we go back to 1 Samuel 16, we can see that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, in the midst of his enemies. God still gave David favor. And David overcame Goliath because the Spirit of God was within him. And greater is he who is in us than he is in the world. So, Even after David's victory, he also experienced persecution again. If we just read a bit further, we'll see that Saul became extremely jealous. All the young ladies, they sang songs. It was tradition in those days when the war heroes came back, they would sing songs. And they actually sang a song and they said that Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul became incredibly jealous and tried to take David's life. He tried to kill him on a few occasions. And he actually had to flee for his life. Let's hear what David said. He said there in Psalm 20 verse 6, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." So he was confident that God, who had promised to make